Testing, testing. Ooh. Cool. And we are on. We are live. Thank you, everybody, for taking time out of your busy schedules, your pandemic busy schedules, for today's RAC meeting. Again, like I said, I sent out the last meeting's minutes as well as tonight's agenda about like 45 minutes ago. So if you want to pull that up and we can... review the minutes, and then ask DeMay, we could proceed with you and the approval of the May 21st minutes. Okay. Cool. All reviewed up. Estimate.
I beg your pardon?
You all are all good to, I guess, approve the minutes. I know there's only Doretha and Marlene here, but
no, I move that we accept the minutes as written.
I agree.
Cool. Great. Awesome. Moving on then. We can get into the RTA announcements before we get into, because I know we'll probably have some conversation later, questions and stuff. But so in terms of RTA announcements, in terms of our response to COVID-19, as you guys know, our last meeting in May, we were going over, the details of a service change that had yet to be enacted since our last meeting, the phase two kind of mitigation response on the RTA side was put into effect on June 14th, Sunday, June 14th. And so all of those changes that you probably just read about in the minutes did go into effect. Some highlights Most of our hours and buses are back on the road. There's a handful still not. And that's kind of just to give us a, you know, increased time at the lot to keep our buses clean. We've actually started to really deep clean some vehicles. And then service-wise, the 402A does run 7 days a week now. The 402B is still out of service, but that 402A bus running on Sundays allows us to kind of keep a more consistent schedule with the 408. If any of you ride those routes, 406 and 414, as well as the extra buses on the 407 and the 401 that kind of decrease that frequency, those are still down. And, you know, we'll probably be down for a bit longer until just pandemic wise, the situation kind of improves throughout the state. We're still working on driver barriers, and for that, you know, fares have yet to be reintroduced. But in terms of our response to COVID-19 in particular, Jason, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to hit on.
So the fares are, well, right now, you know, with the driver barriers, we're in the process of getting a more permanent. Oh, Marlene's gone. I look up and she's disappeared. she was there just a second ago.
Another call.
Yeah, she had another call.
So RTA is installing, you know, temporary barriers till we get a permanent solution in place. The temporary barriers are going to be shower curtain like, while the permanent barriers are being ordered and installed. So that, at least in the meantime, will give the drivers additional, protective barrier. But still, at the same time, fares are not being collected. Still some decision to be made when fares will be reinstituted. It will probably coincide with the barriers or when we can make sure the drivers can maintain their safety. So in the meantime, fares are still free. People are still boarding in the rear of the buses. As a result, capacity on the buses is being monitored to make sure that there's not, you know, any kind of crowding, so that safe distance can be put forth on the buses. So there are tripper buses, and some of the routes do run a little crowded. So there are tripper buses to allow people to board and maintain a safe distance on the buses. Let's see. I think that's it right now for the COVID-19 update. Cool. Any questions?
Yeah, Jason?
Yeah.
Okay. You said the passengers are still boarding at the rear of the bus.
Yeah.
So there's only the newer model buses. I don't remember the model of the latest ones we got.
Yeah.
But there are none of those truck buses out there at this point?
So all the buses that are double doors are out in service to ensure people, you know, can board in the rear. There are some of the larger buses, not necessarily the truck buses, but there are some of the transit buses which only have one door.
Those, okay.
Because the service level went up, we had to, use the vehicles that's available in order to ramp up service again. So that's why there's a priority right now to put in place those temporary barriers, because those buses only have single doors.
So about how many buses is it that does not have the back doors that are being used at this point?
There are probably six to seven buses.
Okay, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because all the ENCs, those newer buses, all have double doors. And there's 15 of those buses. Right.
Oh, it's 15 of them in the fleet now.
Correct. Right. Okay. Right.
Cool.
Okay, thank you.
Cool.
I'll need a ride to fix it, so,
yeah. Ready? Next item on the agenda. Ooh. Transit app campaign. So if you guys see that on the agenda. RTA in Howard County recently made the decision to start, you know, we've talked to you guys in previous meetings about how we've really tried to be improving the real-time data that's going out. If you guys, you know, have or have not seen, our data doesn't really show up on RouteShout anymore because there were so many complaints about RouteShout and everything, and we started to move away from that application as the primary way we wanted to direct our riders to be able to see where the fixed route buses were. So on the fixed route side, we're now going to start marketing and start a marketing campaign for Transit App, which I think, you know, as some of you know, MTA up in Baltimore, their official endorsed app is Transit App as well. So there are a fair amount of RTA users that actually already use Transit App.
I do.
Yeah. I know you'd said that, Marlene.
And
it's a really nice app. They're really, really responsive in terms of keeping our data up to date. Anytime we make a change to our data feeds, they're pretty good at making it be reflected really quickly. And I think, yeah, it's going to excite some people. It certainly excites me. I really like that app. I use it in whatever city I'm in when I'm trying to ride a bus or a train. And I think, yeah, it'll really help the people of Howard County and the surrounding jurisdictions. So that's an exciting campaign that is kind of, you know, coming off the ground slowly as we speak. We just signed, you know, an agreement with them a couple weeks ago, so it's still pretty fresh. But expect to see some stuff about that coming out next month. Stuff on buses and kind of how-to videos and stuff on the website and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know if, Jason, you have anything else you want to say about that before we go on to...
Yeah, I mean, I think the agreement allows us, the partnership allows RTA to better understand and the usage of the transit app and get more analytics on riders and its usage and where people are coming and going, to be able to track that a lot more than what we were able to with RouteShout. And I think just the initial stats so far from, you know, from I guess, what, in July of this year, shows, you know, what were some of those numbers, Cole? There was a 371.
Yeah, so the number I was most impressed about, and so let me actually pull up that sheet. Because, yeah, we got like a little rundown of some statistics. Let's see here. Yeah, so in July, because these are kind of monthly reports that we receive, we actually had about 2,008 active users in our service region, and that might be RTA or MTA or WMATA services, but about 2,008 people using the app in our region with 186 daily active users on average. But the stat that really got, I think, us kind of like, whoa, is there are actually like 370 different people subscribed to service alerts through RTA or through Transit App on RTA services. So that's pretty powerful to us, knowing that if we send out a service alert with that sort of unified module we were talking about a couple meetings ago, where things show up on Google Maps and Transit App and Twitter and everything, 371 people alone are getting that on Transit App, which is kind of cool to know. You know, and the more I think we market these sort of real-time tools and Transit App, you know, communication is going to be better between, you know, the agency and the riding public. And it'll just improve outcomes on both sides for everybody. So pretty exciting. Very exciting.
And these numbers are before there's an official campaign or official marketing of the Transit App to the rider. So this is based on people that know about the Transit App like you do, Marlene, that use it already. And, you know, it's So I can imagine once there are promotional and marketing of the app, there'll be more people likely to use it, because as you find out, Marlene, it's a pretty good app.
Yeah, it is. And it's very easy to understand and very easy to use.
Yeah, so I suspect
it was a lot easier than the other app. I hated the other app. It was harder. I hated it. I was like, you couldn't do that! Yeah.
So I think once we point people in that right direction and they can use it once or twice, they'll come to the same conclusion you have.
Oh, so. I had it even the first day I saw the one app. I was like, I don't like this one. And I'm like, let me know the transit app, please. And you did it.
Yeah. Yeah, and the service alerts is going to be huge. Being able to reach out to people on any service change or upcoming service change, or you know, notification right at the app. You okay there, Marlene?
Yeah, my drink went down the wrong way.
Okay, so I think that's going to be really, really good for the rider experience.
So without active users in the area, that we can't figure out that if that's like primarily within Howard County, or how do they designate the area?
Yeah, so they define the service region kind of fluidly depending on where you are, just so you can connect to surrounding transit agencies. We right. can see route by route breakdowns in terms of taps, like how often you're getting real-time information about certain routes.
Okay.
And you know, kind of expectedly, before we launched this campaign, our most popular routes are the 302, the 501, and the 502. And that makes sense because WMATA and MTA services, you know, a lot of people on the outskirts are already using a trip planner to kind of plan trips between services. But I would expect, overall taps and users to kind of reflect our general ridership trends, and a lot of that weight kind of shift over to Howard County once we start campaigning. But yeah. So keep an eye out for that. And then I guess the only other item kind of initiative that we have going on beyond, you know, that and responding to COVID is mobile ticketing. We don't have too many updates for you, but Jason, if you want to talk a little bit about that before
we move on. Yeah, we've been in conversations with some vendors to try to get in, you know, an idea of some of the features and functionality and that they offer. Now in conversation with one of the vendors to hopefully be able to secure their services. And if so, you know, tying into the transit app, if we use Braver Secure with this vendor, in the very short term, you would be able to purchase your fares in the transit app. You can not only just track your vehicles, check real time, but also purchase your fares. So we're hoping to get the mobile ticketing part of it kind of rolled out and at least have a soft launch come this fall. So I think that's moving along pretty well. We're just waiting for some information to come back from the vendor before we move forward with a formal agreement.
Yeah. Jason?
Yeah.
Will that be tickets for the mobility rides as well as the fixed route, or will it be just for the fixed route at this time?
It will be just the fixed route at this time. Right, okay. Cole? That's our discussion so far.
Yeah, yeah. And we've had discussions a little bit about how to kind of streamline payments on the mobility side, but in terms of mobile ticketing, we're really kind of starting with fixed route.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So more to come on that, but
that's exciting, right?
Yeah, it's very exciting. And we would, you know, I don't know, we'd be in a really good position if people could use all these tools that are available elsewhere around the country with other agencies. We're excited to keep moving that stuff forward.
I mean, the long-term goal is not just being able to purchase your tickets on your phone, but the long-term goal is being able to allow people to pay via their contactless or proximity card, like a credit card or a debit card. so that you don't even need a phone, you know, so you can just go and tap and it'll deduct from your account or charge your account.
Right. Yeah.
Which makes it so much more seamless that, you know, than needing a specific application or needing a mobile phone, you know, to get your fare.
And actually, yeah. And while we're kind of talking about this, I don't know if we had specifically gone into like details on things we were looking for with mobile ticketing, but it's worth mentioning to you guys. One of the big things Jason and I have been kind of looking for as we kind of research these vendors and figure out like who would be a best fit for us to partner with. If you guys have heard of the term fare capping at all, it's only a handful of agencies are doing it, but from a not only just economic value lens, but also an equity lens. Fare capping, the idea is as you buy tickets, your fixed route tickets on RTA services, you eventually cap out at a certain amount of money every day or week or month. And then all of the rides past that amount of money are free. So you can essentially pay as you go towards your day passes or your monthly passes. Not having to, you know, at the very beginning of the month, spend all of the money, especially for some low income workers, that can be a challenge. But just also in general, as you're visiting, you know, being able to just tap or scan and not have to like do the math every time you get on the bus of like, well, is it going to be worth it if I do this or this or that? It's simple. You get on the bus and you do your thing and you're never going to overpay. You'll always get the best value from us. So that's something that we've also been really excited to kind of research and make sure whoever we partner with could do something like that. At least, you know, if not in the immediate term, really, really soon. Because that, I think that's like one of the coolest things ever. And that's really only started to get a lot of traction in the last couple years with agencies. But, you know, we all have, you know, with 5G and smartphones and everything, you know, the internet's better than ever. So, you know, might as well make use of it for everybody.
So I'm going to assume that would mean that the RTA will have to put in a different type of fare box than the antiquated drop the coins in the box that we have now.
Well, there will still be a cash fare box because you can't eliminate the you know, allow people to pay cash. Right. But yes, there will be another device where you can pay via credit card, pay via mobile phone, mobile ticketing. But the fare capping, you know, will be account-based. So therefore, like Cole was saying, you know, if you pay cash, it, obviously you're not going to be able to get the benefits of fare capping because there's no way to track cash that way to a specific person. Right. But if you're paying with like a credit card, you can track it for that person so that, you know, if you pay in that form, you'll always get the best deal in terms of the fare.
So that's something that, you know, we're really excited to keep pushing people and working towards, and yeah, we, like Jason said, we're just kind of waiting on a few things to come back on that end. But yeah,
since we're not charging anything for our service right now, it's not a huge deal that we don't have it available, so
yeah, from a value to the consumer end, it's never been better.
Right, RTA. In an ideal world, we'll have this up and running at the same time. We'll reinstitute fares. So that's probably going to be towards the end of the year at this point.
Right.
So that being said, I just have on the agenda really quick before we get into public comment / conversation / whatever you guys want to ask us about.
One thing that's not on there that we should probably just remind everybody of, that when fares come back online and when fares get reinstituted, there was approval for a fare increase on the GPT side. That was supposed to take effect on July 1st of this year, but because of COVID and the free fare, you know, obviously that's not going to take effect. But whenever fares get reinstituted back, it's going to coincide with the increased fare on the GBT. The ADA fare and the fixed route fare will stay the same, Mm-hmm. So it was just a reminder. That's all, you know, that was already pre-approved, you know, a few years ago. It just was a phased-in increase.
So is there going to be a public campaign to remind the riders of the anticipated fare increase once it does
come,
you know, once we get back to where we're supposed to be?
Yeah,
remind the public more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Once there's been a decision made on when fares would get reinstituted, then you know, we'll start pushing out reminders about the upcoming, you know, fare increase on the GPT side.
Right. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, that's important to mention. Alrighty. Before we all start talking, I wanted to just give an update on our formal membership. And so, you know, maybe Doretha, if you wanna, if you can hear me, Doretha, maybe you could send in a formal application. I could either email it to you or something, or they're available on the website. Right now we have Jackie Centel, we have Linda Carruthers, we have Marlene Hendler, and then, you know, Asme, our chair, are kind of like the formal on paper members of the RAC. And I think we were trying to get more and more towards a formal sort of core group, obviously with the public always welcome, but kind of having a core group of individuals that come together for these meetings. So Doretha, if you want to send in an application, that would be awesome. I'd say that to anyone else that is here, but no one else is here.
I'm sorry, Cole. Send it to me and I'll give it to her.
Okay, for sure. Can do. I will do that. Cool. So that's all in terms, unless Asma, you have any RAC specific announcements? Otherwise, we can get into the public comment portion.
No, I don't have anything. I'm just glad to see that we still have service. And it's able to, I know it's not as many riders on the fixed or the paratransit as it was before, but this is the times that we're living in right now. But I'm glad to see, you know, that things, that my needs are being met as far as being able to get where I need to go. So that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just a quick, I guess, mention, I know we had talked about in previous meetings, new buses that were supposed to arrive later this year.
Oh, yeah.
The vendor that we ordered the buses from, that's on the state contract, they have notified, you know, everyone in the state that the buses that's on the state contract, they will no longer produce as of next year. So we have asked the state to instruct the vendor to basically put a hold on our production because we don't want to get buses from this vendor and no longer potentially not have support for them 5-6 years down the road when we really need parts and, you know, maintenance and support for it. Mm-hmm. Which means that, you know, the buses that we had initially had on order with them, that would be produced this time, this over the summer, are no longer, well, we won't receive mm-hmm. this year. So, and which means we will likely have to secure buses from a different vendor that's on the state contract mm-hmm. once this resolves itself with the state and this other vendor. Ultimately, that means it pushes back us getting buses for 12 to 18 months because of this. So those anticipated buses that we're excited to get at the end of the year, we're not going to get.
So my question would be, okay, so the buses that the anticipated shipment mm-hmm. is the same as the 15 that we have, the same model and all. Is that all the same company?
No. So we were going with a different vendor.
Oh, I see.
Buses. So it was a different vendor. So since that's not going to, that appears it's not going to pan out, we will be then probably switching our order with the 15 buses, those ENC buses from that vendor.
So you okay? So we're not going to get the anticipated shipment that we,
right?
That you've been talking about. So right. Now you're going to go back to the well. So why was there a change in the vendors to start off with?
Well, the ENC buses we got originally, they were off of a contract with Ocean City, and that was the bus that was available off a contract.
Okay.
So that's how we got those ENC buses. They're okay. They, you know, they serve a purpose. They people seem to like it. When the state added this other bus, this other vendor onto their state contract last year, it was so we had an option to go with the ENC or this new bus from Alexander Dennis. We tested and looked at both buses. It seemed the quality and the features on the new bus was better than what we had seen on the ENC.
Okay.
And so we thought we would give it a shot with the newer buses. Okay. It would still be clean diesel buses, so the fuel type would be the same. Mm-hmm. But you know, as I mentioned, we're not going to be getting any Alexander Dennis bus because they're not going to manufacture that particular model that's on the state contract. But that's why we went over to Alexander Dennis, because we tested both buses. They brought them out, and everybody seemed to like the ride, enjoyed the amenities, and the maintenance of the newer buses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why we went with those.
Mm-hmm. So then that means we still gonna have some of those older buses on the street now that we won't be replacing.
Yeah, until we can resolve our issue with the Alexander Dennis vendor, mm-hmm. and then place our order with for the ENC buses.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of delay are we talking about before we actually gonna physically get replacements?
So it's the resolution between, you know, with Alexander Dennis, it's out of our hands. It's with the state MTA. It's their bus contract. So they deal directly with the vendor, and they're trying to resolve that now legally with the vendor. And once we can confirm that we have no financial exposure to our order that we've placed with Alexander Dennis, then we can go ahead and proceed with placing the order with ENC. And once we've spoken to the company that produces the ENC, American Truck and Bus, they said once we place the order, there's a 12 to 14 month delivery time.
And we were expecting the first two of the Alexander Dennis buses in October. So,
correct.
It's a 10 month, you know, difference, or 10 to 14 month difference, because we don't know if that year is even
right.
Mm. Oh, it's a shame. Okay.
Yeah,
no one feels that more than Jason. He's the one that filled out all the orders for the buses and, you know, all the detailed paperwork and everything. But I will point out that I didn't force him to go to the new buses. It was his choice too. That's why I always love giving my experts a choice.
Okay.
So he couldn't blame me when this went wrong.
Thanks, Bruce.
Okay. Well,
they were good buses. They were good. It was like just unfortunate.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we'll just have to wait.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Marlene.
I have a question, and I don't know whether this question relates to what we're talking about now or whether it should go in the comments section. But I saw the email from you, Bruce, right before, about an hour ago, right before I came into this meeting, about the buses, or about some buses and the Annunciator.
So we got a new grant award, brand new, just announced this week from, it's an FTA Bus and Bus Facilities grant, which we have typically not gotten in the past. But Jason had a brilliant idea to put the Annunciators in with this grant application. See, I give you credit when credit's due.
mm-hmm.
And the bus stop Annunciators is part of that award. That would be for the entire fleet, though. So we would retrofit all of the buses with those. We'd have to go through a procurement, so that's still a ways out as well. So it's three buses that are new to add to these three buses that we've just been talking about. So that's six. And you know, as soon as we get the paperwork from MTA, we can put those in at the same time. So basically Jason's going to be putting in, you know, her five or six ENCs in the next 60 days here. So fortunately he just has to build one, you know, one bus and then to replicate it. But then the enunciator process will be one that we'll work with the RTA and try to figure out what the best vendor is to do that. I'll say that the two guys here are already thinking in ahead, and they know they've already got GPS on the buses. And so that helps, you know, hopefully with integration, and when they get the bus stop announcement system in, it all reads off the, you know, the new streamlined bus stops and routes, and they've done all that legwork over the past 6 months. So the enunciator is just going to build on that. I mean, that we've positioned ourselves well to make it easier to do that. So kudos to Jason and Cole on that.
Yeah, and it'll be cool once they're in. That'll be really, really cool.
Yes. And then we figure out how to count people.
Right. The enunciators are really good because in Howard County, you don't have a street sign at every intersection like you do in the city.
Oh, the city's not as good as you think, Astame. There's a couple that are just not there at all.
Yeah. But that would be good. I think enunciators will really be good.
And with the barriers going in for the drivers to protect the drivers, that's just going to, you know, they're going to start getting more muffled in terms of being able to announce the stop. So that's the other good, you know, I have a feeling that's why FTA probably prioritized it. They realize, oh, yeah, if all these agencies are going to.
Not all the drivers were announcing stop to start with. Having the enunciator does help.
Yeah, I tried not to. I think my quote in the paper was, you know, it's hit and miss. As to whether they're heard. You know, what I really meant was it's hit and miss as to whether they say it, but, you know, it's hit and miss as whether they're heard because they didn't say it, right?
So I'm not going to make a comment.
Okay. I just forgot that Cole's recording me, so I'm going to stop now.
It's the RTA's goal just to eliminate all forms of potential error. You know, at the end of the day, we just want it to be perfect. So this will help. But yeah, that's a cool grant. That's a cool grant. And yeah, we're trying to do all sorts of fun tech stuff on those buses. Any other questions, guys?
I do have another question. What routes are still not running?
So the list, if you want to write them or just listen close, it's no service at all on the 402B, the 406, and the 414.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're still having an issue with the 402 and the 408 down here where I am, because it is so confusing. Because one of the buses going does not go in one direction or vice versa, and it really is confusing for Phil. He said when he runs to the bank for me, when he gets on the bus, he's got to go all the way to the mall. If that ATM machine's not working down there, he's got to go all the way to the mall, but then he's got to come back this way to go over to 108 to go over to my bank there. Because I have wheelchair issues, Phil's been helping me with some of my own. But anyway, I really wish that we had our 406 the way it was on my side, where we didn't have to go do so many bus transfers. I mean, we have to do a lot of bus transfers on my end to get where we need to go. It's horrible.
Are you at Sherman Square?
When they go down where Phil lives, some of them don't stop there when they're supposed to.
Where does he live?
Huh?
Where does Phil live?
Phil lives at Sherman Square.
Oh, Shalom Square. And you, Marlene?
I am just two blocks down towards 175. I'm at the Long Beach Knoll condominium, which is two blocks from the shopping center going towards 175.
Okay, so you're in Tamar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. And you're?
Yeah.
Okay. Because right now the 402A.
Change with the 402 and the 408 coming down here. Whenever I had to go to the bank, I could jump on the 406. It would take me to that corner. Now, the corner where my bank is by the mall, it would take me to that corner. Then all I have to do is cross over to the mall once, jump on the bus, and be able to go back home. But now we have to go all the way to the mall when we use the mall thing. Then we either have to walk across the parking lot to go to the bank, and it's a long walk. Or we have to come back the other way on a different bus. It's a lot of transfers, and it's not that easy to do for a person in a wheelchair either, especially when they're having wheelchair issues. I can't wait until the end of the year when I'm supposed to get my new chair.
Yeah, well, and that's a whole other set of challenges. But in terms of the fixed route challenges, Long Reach in general and like Tamar Drive is actually the only place system-wide that has a 30-minute frequency right now. So you actually have you have surprisingly good service for our service
plan. I don't know if the 402 provides that because the 402 goes down the fill. I know the 408 has a 30-minute frequency, but I don't know if the 402 does.
Well,
I'm just talking about like when you combine the 408 and the 402 services, like if you were trying to get over to the mall or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bus that goes by in some direction every 30 minutes. So yeah, I wish.
But the drivers aren't always switching their signs to say who they are either and which direction they're going in.
Oh.
We have that problem a lot down here.
What are they? They're not, which direction?
People down here getting on the wrong buses, especially the agents. You got a lot of agents down this way.
So what in, like, can you?
At the end of Fort Langoth, there's a lot of agents in there, and they get on the wrong buses all the time.
Is there a, the newer bus is going to have any different signage that'll take that out of the hands of the operator in terms of which one's showing or no?
I mean the route information, the head sign?
The head sign, yeah.
They would still have to switch at the end of the route in the direction they were heading.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, there's ways we could get that to be done automatically, but
yeah,
I don't know if that would be cost effective for other things people would want. Yeah.
Make that part of the collective bargaining agreement negotiation so those drivers start.
Marlene, that stinks. I'm sure you're using like transit app and stuff, right? So you're probably using the best routes to take at the best times, I'm assuming, right? So yeah, I don't know. That stinks.
I mean, I'm able to figure it out because I've used the buses long enough and I know how to use the app, but some of the older people around here or some of the agents really don't understand, you know. I mean, Phil has a hard time with our buses down here.
Yeah. Well, you know, feel free to have him ask me any, certain scenarios or anything, because I'd be happy to help. And if something's going wrong somewhere, then I want to help fix it. But yeah. Anything else from anyone else? Nothing from Doretha all the way in the back?
Well, actually,
Doretha does want to
actually,
say
I
something.
I have two things. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. One actually is a compliment and appreciation. It says, in light of the distressing events of COVID-19 going on at this time, In appreciation, I wish to thank Howard County Transportation, RTA Mobility, dispatchers, drivers, schedulers, management for their extra effort in safety as well as can be expected. Extra considerations and multiple issues that's happening right now. Everyone's caring spirit and your extra time is requiring you to do the work to try to get it together and work together and come up with a solution. It's definitely been a blessing to me and I'm sure to others that's riding, and we thank you for your services.
Hey, well, that's awesome. Thank you for that compliment. We all appreciate that.
And the other one was, I'm not sure, the radios on the shuttles or buses. What would be the distractions if they had like a? Is that the reason why they do not have the radios, because of distractions and different types of music that everyone cannot listen to?
You mean having radio, like music on the buses?
Yes. I mean, like soothing, though. I mean, because there are a lot of complaints sometimes on the show. And will that give them a little comfort? I have no idea, but sometimes it can. I know you cannot do the loud rap music, that type of thing. Sometimes, would you think if they had a little bit of some type of encouraging, motivating.
I think
they're not complaining so much.
Yeah, I think what Teresa is really inquiring about is initially when they started with the newer paratransit buses, there was the ability to play music. And apparently something happened where the drivers, it was either taken away or the drivers can't do it anymore. And I think what Teresa is asking is maybe if there can be something like that MP3 player, whatever that is, where they can turn on some type of music that should be appreciated by the general public. We know some types of music some people don't like. But I think that's what she wants to know. Is there a way of having some music installed in the paratransit buses?
I think the question, in addition to is it possible, is would we really dare to try that? Because such a subjective thing, and you could have complaints all over the place. I guess if you're talking about a paratransit vehicle where there's only a passenger and a driver to talk about it, to agree, maybe that might be one thing if it were possible. But I don't know if I'd want to go there and start putting music out for people to comment on.
I mean, because I think people may start to put in requests, even if you have one person on the bus, you don't want to put the driver in the position of being DJ
on the bus. I can understand that, but when you subscribe to the state, all of this stuff is out there. I don't partake of all of the whatever is out there in our world today. But I know that you can subscribe to particular stations where it's only going to be the type of music that they play, which means if you have it, then there is no choice and whatever. But like when you go to the doctor's office and you hear the music playing, okay, it's one station or whatever that's there, and you can't deviate from that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what she's talking about. Yeah.
Are you trying to set up a party bus, Aretha?
No, but Jason, back a while ago, there was music on the bus. I mean, the driver could turn music on, but I think it got taken away for some reason or another.
I mean, I think it could run into issues with just even if it's because it's a public bus as opposed to a private business where you have a little more latitude. Mm-hmm. With the public bus, you have to be sensitive to all different types of, riders that, so it just opens up potential conflicts if you have, more than one rider on it. And it puts the driver in a really bad position to make some those decisions when all they want to do is just drive. So that may be why. I mean, we can look into what, you know, what prompted the stopping of the music on the buses. I mean, it was predates, you know, my time here, but we can certainly inquire what was the catalyst for stopping it. And I suspect it may be those issues that it just became too much of a problem in trying to, you know, manage and trying to stay on top of potential conflicts. So that's what I guess, but we can look into, you know, why. Stop.
Maybe we could partner with a some kind of electronics store, and they could do some lottery giveaways of personal music devices. A winner will be able to be their own DJ. Okay, well we could check into whether there's some options there, but it'd be a challenge for us.
Well, you know, it may help the driver too, because sometimes they get a little aggravated at listening to negativity a lot of the time. So sometimes, not that they have to ignore the writers, no. But it may not get them as distracted as they do when there's a lot of negativity. Does that make sense?
Yes, we. I mean, in terms of wanting to de-stress the drivers, that is a good would be a good goal to have for us. I just don't know what the best way to do it is.
Yeah. There's a lot of challenges with that.
Yeah, but I mean, we have talked about working with the MTA to get some better training for some of the drivers, and just there's some resources out there, you know, in terms of dealing with difficult customers and things like that. So we are looking into those types of things, or we will be. And we've talked to MTA about asking for some help on those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But cool idea. And yeah, we'll kind of explore why, you know, stuff changed, when it changed, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Any other questions from anybody?
How long do you all anticipate it's going to take to get the fixed barriers installed in the buses?
Well, the lead time right now from the vendors are 6 to 8 weeks to just get the kits manufactured and shipped out.
So we're looking at 9 to 10 from today, mm-hmm. just to be on the safe side.
Yep.
But you're going to put a temporary thing up, a shower curtain up there.
Correct.
So I'm assuming this is a transparent shower curtain.
Correct.
Okay. But, I mean, if it's going to take less than 3 months, why would you even want to do the temporary thing? Why not just wait it until you can get the actual barriers, until they're manufactured, and get it installed?
Because I think there are also concerns, you know, to make sure, you know, to ease the concerns of some of the operators while they're still having to operate.
Okay.
The magnitude of the cost is such that, you know, we probably should have done it a while ago, but we really wanted to make sure we had an idea of what our permanent solution was. So I think it's easier to communicate these, you know, curtains aren't the best. They're something. Some people might not even like them. There's challenges to having curtains. So it's like, okay, we're doing something now. Get something taken care of right away, and then gives us a little bit of maneuvering room. So, because every time I hear a date on when it comes to transit, and Jason still gives me confidence 6 to 8 weeks, I always add to it, so
okay.
Not him, but I'm always adding to it.
Okay.
I gotta sign off, so thank you all, and I will see you next time. But
yeah, nice talking to you, Bruce.
See you, Bruce.
Any other questions from anybody?
No. Nope.
Cool.
Did we run more than a half? Oh, we ran longer this time.
We did run a little bit longer than last time. Last time was a world record for sure, but this is probably a close second, relative to, you know, regular meetings when we got, you know, in-person energy flowing, right?
So we put music on the buses. I don't know who be on that bus, but we could be on that bus. She'd be the first one on that bus and we put music on there.
It's calm music.
And I'll tell you.
Well, you know, calm music is different. Different types of calm music for different people. My son listens to calm music, but his calm music is like gives me a headache. So it's not for him. It's calming, but it's not calming for me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I like the Lion Dance music, but no, they cannot play it on the show.
Okay, well, if we think that's it, then we'll probably call it a meeting now. Thanks everybody for being a part, logging on. Dorita for sharing the room with Astme sharing the room, and Marlene for joining us. Great talking to you guys. And trying to say something.
I wasn't at the meeting last month because I was having computer issues and I couldn't connect in.
Oh, gotcha. Well, glad you could join us this time.
Yeah.
So Dorita, you're going to send in the application? Is that what it is? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Send it to me.
I will send it to you, Astame, and then if you could get it, that'd be great. Okay. Cool. Very cool.
Very cool.
Okay. And then we'll have you on the books. Awesome.
Marlene, you're not officially on it. Are you? Did you submit
it? No, Marlene didn't do an application. No, Marlene did an application.
I did because Cole and I did it together because I was having trouble doing it on mine.
Yeah, I was asking her the questions. And
I called him and he and I filled it in.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay, I just didn't know.
Yeah, she did the verbal application. Yeah.
Got it.
Hey, I offer that whenever people...
Did Phil do one?
Phil did not.
Phil Delaney didn't do one?
No. But he's welcome to.
Okay, send it to me and I'll forward it to him.
No, okay. I mean, I have his email. Should I just send it to him?
Well, he might have trouble getting it opening up his email. He's been having trouble with his email.
Oh.
So if you send it to me, I can make sure he gets it. Because he can fill it out online here, and then I can send it back to you.
Okay. So I'll send it to you, your email, okay?
Okay.
Cool. Sweet. Awesome, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining. Have a great rest of your Thursday evenings. And until then.
So our next meeting is going to be September.
It should be in November.
November.
It'll be the... Again,
TPAC has a meeting in September.
Right, TPAC. But the next RAC meeting will be in November.
Yeah, second Thursday of November. I'll send out the...
Second Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like normal. Probably still be online, though. I mean, at this rate.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably be doing this until maybe mid next year.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah. But... This isn't too bad. I kind of wish more people could join since it's online. I mean, you don't have to worry about catching buses or traveling to a place or anything. Yeah. So, you know, if you guys have anyone else to reach out to, feel free to send them our way. Okay.
Well, I know that the signs are on the bus, on the paratransit buses, because that's how Dorita knew when the meeting was going to be.
And we got those up. Couple weeks ago, which was nice.
But I know there's a lot of writers do not always look at those papers. They just sit down.
Actually, out of curiosity, did you just use the link that was in the email? Or did you use the link that was on the agenda?
I saw it on the show.
And you saw it on the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you talking about for the meeting itself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used the link.
The link that was on the email?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so did I.
Okay. Cool. I made a cute little link. I tried something new. So so from now on, if you always want to like have this like bookmarked, because I'll always make this stay up to date. There's a link now that I made that forwards you to our Zoom call. It's meetings.transitrta.com/rack. And so it's on the agenda. If you're looking at the agenda, it's at the very top, just in the blue with the underline. I'll always make our Zoom calls just behind that link. And you could just bookmark that if you wanted, just to make things easy. Mm-hmm. And I kind of hoped, I was telling people would see that and be like, oh, you know, that's easy enough to take a picture of, like, it's easy to type in if you needed to, but alas, you know, maybe next time, right?
Right. Okay.
So, okay. Well, thank you guys. Have a great rest of your evening. Talk to you guys soon. Stay safe, stay healthy. And yeah, feel free to reach out to either of us really, if you need anything. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Cole. Cool.
Thanks guys.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye. Bye everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.